The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So last week, as we do each year on the second Sunday of Advent, we met John the Baptist out in the wilderness and heard him preaching about preparing for the one who was to come. He seemed so confident, almost brazen, unafraid of the powers that opposed the message of God. And today, we've skipped ahead in Matthew's gospel timeline to the next time John appears in the story. A lot has happened in between, though. Jesus has been tempted in the wilderness, has gathered followers, has begun to teach and heal and cast out demons. He has calmed a storm. And he has also sent out his disciples into the world to do the work as well, apart from him, sent out in God's power. And also, in the meantime, though we don't read about it actually until a flashback a few chapters after where we are today in Matthew 14, John has gotten himself arrested by Herod. So we meet him today in the prison where his life will eventually end. And in this moment, we seem to see a John who doesn't have quite the same confidence as when he was calling people out into the Jordan River, or for that matter, when he was calling out Herod for his sins. Isolated and suffering, now John sends a question to Jesus. Is it really you? Even the one who was among the first to point to Jesus and tell us who he was wondered for a moment if he got it right. And Jesus' answer isn't to scold him for his lack of faith or to be offended by his question. But he also doesn't just tell the answer, which is very on brand for him. So how does Jesus answer John's doubt and ours today? It's really quite amazing. Jesus reminds John and his friends who have been sent to ask the question to believe their own eyes and ears and hands and hearts, to trust that they had words to say about what they had seen that would begin to reveal who Jesus really was. Jesus tells them to consider what they have seen happening around him as they have been with him, fulfillments of Isaiah's prophecy we heard read today, but also what brought them out into the wilderness to John to begin with. What did you go out to see? Jesus asks a version of this question four times in this reading. He seems to be saying, remember what has drawn you out into the unfamiliar, to the risky, to the new places, to the places where you have been transformed or discovered who you really were, even if only for a moment. He is telling John and his followers and us that we know. We know about what it is to be pulled towards God's presence. He tells them to remember and to trust their own eyes and ears and hearts. God is close. You have come close to God, and you can believe the witness of your own life. Think of a place where you have found yourself, what you saw there, and hear Jesus say, you know what you have seen and heard. You know God was there. And even if it feels hard to believe today, or if no one would take you seriously if you said it out loud, you know. Now, of course, it's a little bit more complicated than that, isn't it? There is another side to this coin of trusting our own witness and experience. If we know anything about eyewitness testimony, we know that two witnesses often have very different versions of the same set of events. All you have to do is start telling family stories around a holiday dinner table to remember that no one remembers anything quite exactly the same, right? So once we all start believing that we can trust what we see and hear and touch of God's presence in the world, we will also start to realize that we don't all see or hear or touch the same things. Jesus doesn't give us a straightforward answer to the question of who he is today, because he wants to get us all together around the dinner table to share our stories. And yes, to discover that we have seen different things. We get to carry on in the light of the truth that Jesus gives everyone permission to trust our eyes and ears and hands and hearts, not just me, because I have the microphone, or you, because you're in this special holy room, but everyone. So when we can't reconcile our testimony easily, we get to struggle in love to discover more, to knit ourselves together and be knit together by God more deeply, to learn even more through one another who God is than we would if Jesus had just answered the question. What a gift. What a messy, beautiful, strange, and sometimes slightly unwelcome gift. A gift we need so much. God is going to keep giving us to one another over and over and over again so we can continue to learn how much we really need each other. And maybe as much as learning to trust ourselves, maybe this time of year more than any other time, we'll also realize that sometimes we just don't see or hear or touch or know or have any confidence at all. We may not feel like we have testimony to give sometimes. Even John had a time like that in life. It's okay to need someone to tell you again what it looks and feels like when God comes so close. We don't always have it in ourselves, and that is why we are not alone. God also gives us to one another so that when we can't see or hear or believe, someone else can tell the story, can stand with us, carry our doubt and our questions. And in one more way, I think we receive the promise maybe today, or I'll just speak for myself on this one, so as hopefully not to give offense, because I know myself. Sometimes I can trust and proclaim what I have seen, and sometimes I have questions, and I need others to be the ones to speak. And I know that sometimes I just don't see what's in front of my face. It's not that I can't believe in those moments or hope or see. It's that I'm not paying attention. I just don't hear what has been said, even if it's been said more than once. And that is both a metaphor and factually true. You can corroborate that with my family. Sometimes I'm simply not paying attention to the right things at the right times. And in those moments, even, I hear good news spoken today, too. When I'm being obtuse and willfully ignorant, I am pulled back to Isaiah's vision of the pathway being made through the desert that we just heard read. It is a beautiful vision. Every piece of it could be a sermon. But one of the most comforting things to me today about this picture Isaiah paints is one small detail. He says, "A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way, and it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, will go astray." I might have a safe path down God's road in spite of myself, because I'm very good at losing my way. And even in God's perfected, well-watered, safe, and joyful future, it seems God has made a room and space for wandering fools. Did you catch that? That Isaiah makes the point to say that not even fools will go astray presupposes that God fully welcomes the ones we would call fools into the holy way. In God's holy way, there will be joy. Sorrow will be banished. But fools won't. Thanks be to God. So maybe even I can be there, even when I'm just not paying attention. The season of waiting and hoping, yes, of questioning and wondering, continues. We aren't there yet. We may still be wondering who we are, who our neighbors are, and if we will find our way to where God is being born into this world, if it is really him that we see. When the goodness of God and the power of Jesus feel distant, when we are isolated, when we are still waiting, when we are unsure, the promise holds us just like it held John, and we continue to wait and to watch. We will continue to be offered food for the journey and a table around which to tell our stories, the gift of a human family that will tell the story with us of how close God has come and of what we have seen, of who God has been for us, is for us still now, and will be in the future that we look to. And for all this we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.